Now, we read from some of your letters, as we do every Thursday, and we start with a statement we made about fuel cells and the virtues of hydrogen as a source of energy.
Brad Myers of Mililani, Hawaii, was one of several listeners to write and make the same point. Hydrogen is not an energy source, he writes. Hydrogen is, at best, an energy transfer medium. Depending on the method used to obtain hydrogen, the process itself may actually generate considerable volumes of pollutants.
Bill Schroeder of Boardman, Ohio, was evidently shocked by our report on opium growers in Afghanistan. He writes, instead of outrage and incredulity, you treated these farmers as if they were farmers. Poisoning the Western world by addicting our children to their crop is not what anyone should call feeding one's family. They are monsters, and you, by your support, are the same.
On the subject of our interview with historian Bernard Lewis, Daniel Consolator of Baltimore expressed the sentiment of several listeners. Can you say Orientalist? Bernard Lewis defines the term. It's time we reject the outdated, undifferentiated characterization of millions of Muslims and Arabs as backward. Such ideas, particularly as expressed by an old boy like Lewis, have their roots in a very old Western tradition, bigotry and chauvinism toward all non-European peoples.
Many wrote about Rob Magruder's audio diary, his story of receiving ECT, electroconvulsive therapy, for depression. Jennifer Hill Buer of Ypsilanti, Michigan, writes this, ECT is indeed helpful for many people, but there are many people who have been permanently physiologically damaged by ECT, loss of short-term and long-term memory being the most common side effects. If you're going to report responsibly on such a controversial issue, it is imperative that you tell both sides of the story.
We remarked at the colossal smoking habit of Yves Saint Laurent, 150 cigarettes a day, and George Nafziger from Westchester, Ohio, matched us with an account of a colleague, a fellow auditor known for short as Dr. D.
He writes, Dr. D got up every morning at 4 a.m. When my friend asked why he got up so early, Dr. D responded, so I can start smoking. Dr. D also informed us that he and his wife went through 10 cartons of cigarettes a week. Since I traveled with Dr. D a bit, I knew that he was in the habit of closing bars, and being up at midnight was not an uncommon occurrence with him, as were the 14 to 15 beers that went with an evening. Oh, if you want to know what the D was for in Dr. D, death. We figured he was the walking dead.
And speaking of brushes with death, commentator Kevin Kling's account of his drew rave reviews from many listeners. Listener Barbara Wyckoff of Phoenix, New York, wrote this on Friday. Today is my 49th birthday, and the best gift I've received all day is the return of Kevin Kling. I laughed, I cried, and laughed and cried some more. He is the very best commentator anywhere. I didn't realize how much I've missed him and his unique perspective on life. Thank you for making my day.
If we make your day or ruin it by something we say, send us email at atc@npr.org. And please tell us how you say your name and where you're writing from.